Okay, so getting started here tonight, I'd like to look at the trusses. I'd like to look at the roof. We know that the roof provides shelter and protection from the elements. It keeps the rain out, it keeps the snow out, keeps the different elements that can come. And we know that this is a very critical component of the church, because the evil of this world is not able to penetrate into the true church of God. But the true church of God, it is clean, it is pure, it is unspotted from the things of this world. It's a hallmark point of the church. And so tonight I would suggest that the roof, the trusses, is the protection that is upon this church. I'd like to look at different aspects of that. A church plagued with impurity is a sign that it is no longer under the protection of the Almighty. Something has gone wrong if there is a church that is unclean. If its members are defiled with sin, if its members are living in sin, if its members have unrighteousness in their lives, if there's addictions there, then we know that there is something majorly gone wrong, and it is no longer that true New Testament church. Something has gotten off. The roof is missing, and we know that it can't possibly be a home without a roof. So tonight I'd like to look at Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5. We're going to look at a couple different scriptures here, but to begin with, Psalm 24, verses 3 and 5. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And then I'd like to go on, and I'd like to read here Psalm 91, verses 1 through 16. It'll be a little bit of reading here, but I'd like for us to think about this question: who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who is going to come into the presence? Who is going to come and stand in his holy place? It is he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Okay? This is who is going to be able to come into the presence of God. And now we're going to read here in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 16, we're going to read about the person that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, of what this looks like, this covering, this protection that comes now. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, this man that has clean hands, this man that has a pure heart, this man that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I think that's beautiful imagery there. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul in a vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he is dwelling here in the presence of God. He's ascended into the hill of the Lord. And he is now standing in his holy place. And there's this shadow of protection, this shadow of the Almighty that is over him now. Okay? This protection, this roof, so to speak. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. This mighty fortress of protection. We think of the critical protection that the roof offers. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Again, beautiful imagery here. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. What beautiful, again, imagery here as we think of Almighty God protecting this man who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon thee. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So tonight I'd like to look at the rafters and consider what these rafters are. I believe if we remove these rafters, we remove ourselves from the very protection of God, and we expose ourselves to the elements of the world. And so tonight I'd like to specifically look and add some application to what these rafters are. And again, we're thinking about actually building this church, a critical component of the church. We looked at the last lesson, we looked at one of the critical components of having a true church is being able to be built up this framework of the apostles' doctrine, so that we have later on down the road something to hang our practices upon, this foundational, or this framework of the apostles' doctrine. We looked at the foundation of Christ and the apostles and the prophets, these foundational components that make up the church. And if we are to build a true New Testament church, then these things have to be in place. And so tonight I'd suggest, and I'd like to look at these rafters. And tonight, specifically, the rafters, I'd like to consider the rafter of holiness. I'd like to consider the rafter of purity, of righteousness. We could talk about obedience, separation from the world, virtue, honesty, justice, faith. These are different rafters that I believe offer the support structure for the sheeting and the roof to come upon, this almighty protection from God that protects us from the elements. That without these things, we are exposed. Without holiness, without purity, without righteousness, the consequences of that are that we are exposed. Because so often, if we're not holy, we're in the world. And once we're in the world, we have come out from under the protection of God. If we are not walking in purity, it's because we've exposed ourselves to the defilements of the world. And as soon as we expose ourselves to the defilements of the world, of course, we're no longer underneath that roof of protection. We're no longer underneath that protection of the Almighty anymore. We no longer have clean hands. We no longer have a pure heart. And so therefore, we cannot ascend into the hill of the Almighty God, because we know that there is no sin that can come into His presence. And so I'd like to first consider holiness. It's properly whole, entire, or perfect in a moral sense, hence pure in heart, temper, or dispositions. It's free from sin and sinful affections. It's applied to the Supreme Being. Holy signifies perfectly pure, immaculate, and complete in moral character. And man is more or less holy as his heart is more or less sanctified or purified from evil dispositions. We call a man holy when his heart is conformed in some degree to the image of God, and his life is regulated by the divine precepts. Hence, holy is used as nearly synonymous with good, pious, and godly. And there's a verse I'd like to read, 1 Peter 1, verses 15 through 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay? A very critical rafter that we need in place if we're to be part of the true church of God. A church without holiness is not a true church of God. Moving on to purity, it's cleanness, it's freedom from guilt or the defilement of sin, it's innocence as purity of heart or life. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We read that in 1 Timothy 4:12. Righteousness, I'd like to read this and then we'll continue to move on, but it kind of establishes some definition to these words. Righteousness is purity of heart and rectitude of life, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Righteousness is used in scripture and theology, in which it is chiefly used, is nearly equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affections of heart, and conformity of life to the divine law. It includes all we call justice, honesty, and virtue, with holy affections. In short, it is true religion. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Romans 6:18 through 19. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Ephesians 4:24, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Ephesians 6:14. And we see there pretty clearly in Ephesians 6:14 that this righteousness is even equated to a breastplate, a protection. And I believe that these things do protect us. When we are living righteously, when we are living in purity, when we are living in holiness, when we are living in obedience, we are putting ourselves under the divine protection of God. Okay, we could go down and read later on. I mentioned the rafter of obedience, the rafter of separation from the world, virtue, honesty, justice, and faith. And I'd like to read Ephesians 6:16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Okay, and again, we get this sense of protection as we put these things on and as we live in these ways. Okay? I'd like to get into some practical application. What do the rafters of holiness and righteousness look like in our lives? It's one thing to read a definition. It's one thing to say, oh, we need to be holy. We need to be righteous. But in a real practical way, what do the rafters of holiness and righteousness actually look like in our lives? So tonight, I'd like to get into some practical ways that we can, some thoughts that we can consider. I'd like to look at four different areas of our lives of considering. I'd like to consider thoughts that shelter us from the elements. I'd like to consider actions that shelter us from the elements. I'd like to consider ways that we can spend our time that will shelter us from the elements. And I'd like to consider relationships that protect us from the elements. And I really believe that if we are putting ourselves in these places, then we will have a divine protection upon us. We will not be exposing ourselves as we are to understand elements as being the sinful carnality and pleasures of this world that are swirling all around, that if we are not careful, we can so quickly become spotted with and be made tainted and impure and unclean and even killed if we're not careful, okay? And so we want to be under this divine protection. So these thoughts and actions and time and relationships that we can purposely and intentionally place ourselves into these places in order to dwell under the almighty protection of God. Some practical application of this. So thoughts that shelter us from the elements. These are just some thoughts that I've had regarding specifically looking at myself, things that apply to my life. I think each of us should look at ways that we can come up with practical ways for our own lives, but this will at least maybe begin to cause us to think of some practical ways. So what are some thoughts? I can study the Word before I leave for work. And I hope that that's something that all of us do. I hope that that's a daily habit of our life, that before we leave for work in the morning, we've already taken that time, whether it's a half hour, hour and a half, whatever that time is, where we are disciplined enough to wake up in a good time where we can come before the Word of God and we can read it and we can study it before we leave for work. I found that it prepares our heart, it prepares our mind for the day, for the challenges that are going to certainly come. And it gets our thoughts positioned in the right place. And it does truly bring a protection over us as we push out the carnal cares of this world, the concerns of this world, and as we allow the Word of God to wash over us. I believe there's a divine protection that comes. As I work or as I drive, I can pray. And I think that this is a discipline of our minds that we need to continue to exercise ourselves in. As I've mentioned before, I believe, and it's a burden on my heart, that the modern man today is very mentally lazy. He has not used his mind. He's been so spoon-fed so many different things that we find most minds are very lazy. But I believe that we can do certain things that can exercise our minds and we can bring our minds into discipline. So when I drive down the road and I'm driving to work or I'm driving to the next job site, I can have a prayer upon my heart as I'm doing that. I can pray for my brothers and my sisters. I can pray for my family. I can pray for the cares that come throughout the day that are laid to my heart. And we can be very intentional about this. And maybe that takes putting a note on our dashboard as we get into the truck or in the car, and it's just simply pray. You know, but we need to make intentional steps in this to capture our thoughts, to bring every thought into captivity. I can carry verses with me that I can pull out of my pocket and read throughout the day. There's little note cards that we can take, little cardstock, and we can write little verses on there. Maybe it's the verses that we read that morning, or maybe it's something that we need that for a particular struggle that we're facing. And throughout the day, we can pull that card out of our pocket and we can read it throughout the day. And what that's going to do is it's going to just, throughout the day, it's going to bring our mind back into focus. It's going to help push out those thoughts that want to creep in. And again, it puts us in a protection of the Almighty God. It keeps those other thoughts out. Because if we start going down these rabbit trails and some of these thoughts, the cares of this world, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about finances, worrying about or having lustful thoughts, whatever it might be, if we start going down that road, we actually come out from under the protection of God and we subject ourselves to now we're into thinking and into territory that becomes very dangerous and we become exposed to the elements. I can memorize scripture. I think that that's something that all of us could do better at. I can listen to sermons. Sometimes as I'm driving down the road, maybe it's best just to have a sermon on. Or maybe while I'm working, I can have a sermon playing. Or I can listen to hymns. I can identify trigger points that turn my thoughts away from God. So maybe we're driving down the road and maybe there's a billboard that has something inappropriate on it. Maybe there's a place that we drive by that triggers past thoughts, past history, maybe whatever it might be. There's trigger points that can take our thoughts and it can begin to steer them off very quickly if we're not careful. And we can drive, next thing we know, we're a mile down the road and our thoughts, where have they been? And so I think it's very critical for us to identify trigger points that cause my thoughts to turn away from God. And this is going to help us stay under the shelter of the Almighty God as we keep our thoughts pure and holy and righteous before Him. Because who dwells in the presence of God? Who comes and ascends into His holy hill? It's he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up a soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. This is he that dwells in the presence of God. And when he's there in that presence, there's a shadow of the Almighty. He dwells under his wings like as feathers. And there's no arrow that we are to fear. There's no enemy that's going to come and harm us there, tucked up underneath into the presence of the Almighty God. But to dwell there, we must be holy. We must be pure. We must be clean. And so it's very important that we capture these thoughts and we don't just let our thoughts wander off wherever they'd want to go. And I see a lot of laziness in this in today, whether it's in our youth or even in grown adults. There's a laziness in letting the thoughts just kind of wander off wherever they go. And 5 miles down the road or 10 miles down the road, they've not even considered the fact that their thoughts wandered off and are in a place that's very dangerous. No longer under the protection of God. Maybe in a place where they're on the verge of actually sinning in their thoughts. And so I believe we need to recognize these trigger points. It could be through the news. I know there's a lot of people who get caught up in the news and they just have to go there and one of the first things they do in the morning is check their phone or get the newspaper and they want to know what's happening in the world. And I personally don't think that that's necessarily always appropriate. We don't need to know every single thing that's going on in the world. We know enough that we can pray. We know enough to pray. But we don't need all the nitty-gritty. It fills our minds and it puts us in a dangerous place because now our hearts can be filled with fear. Our hearts can be filled with worrying. Our hearts can be filled with what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there, what kind of crazy world do we live in? Did you hear that this happened there? And all of a sudden, our conversations are turned that way because now instead of talking about holy things and right things and pure things, the things of the Word of God, we're talking about current events that we don't may or may not even be true, written by some human being, meant to affect our emotions and our mind, and it could be just simply propaganda for all we know. And so I think we need to be very, very careful that we really limit how much news we would even watch. Do we really even need to be involved in something like that? These are trigger points. Actions that shelter us from the elements. Those were thoughts that shelter us from the elements. Actions that shelter us from the elements. I can examine my life and see where I mar the image of Christ and purposely put in place resolutions to improve. What are those things that I see in myself or that you see in me that is not like Christ? And we can be intentional in marking those things and then working towards a resolution of how to grow and get rid of those things, actually advance so that we don't just keep living the same thing over and over and over. And yes, I know I just continue to fail in this, but what can I do? God's grace is sufficient, and we can overcome these things if we continue to keep pressing and keep working. And so I believe these are actions that can help us dwell in the safety of Almighty God. And when we're working in that way and we're putting forth that effort in that way, it's going to be a lot more difficult for us to come out and be exposed to the elements of the world. When we're looking at purposeful ways to become more like Christ, I can ask my brothers to examine me and help me see weaknesses that maybe I'm blind to. And this is difficult for us. We don't always like that criticism that comes and stings and speaks truth into our hearts. Areas that are blind spots to us. We didn't even know we acted that way. We didn't even know we thought that. We didn't even know we came across that way. But our brothers see things in us that we don't see of ourselves. And in love and in kindness and in gentleness, they can come and they can instruct us and help us so that we can deal with these weaknesses. Brother, I didn't know that I had that. I didn't know that that was a weakness of mine. I didn't know that that was something that I was struggling with, but thank you for pointing it out to me. And that could we have that kind of a humility among us where it would be okay for our brothers to come and criticize us. We know how difficult that is for us to go to our brother and share something that bothers us, something that mars the image. It's difficult for us to go. We don't know how they're going to always respond. We don't know if it's going to be received in love. We don't know if the defenses are going to rise up. But brothers, we need to have that type of humility that we can welcome and receive the criticism of the brothers to point out where we are not like Christ. Actions that I can do that will shelter me from the elements. I can choose to follow Christ. I can choose to follow Christ. I can ask myself in each situation that I find myself in, by the grace of God, I can choose to follow Christ. What would Jesus do in this situation? What would he think in this situation? How would he respond to this particular person? What kind of action would he do in this situation I now find myself? I can choose to follow Christ. I can choose the right path, not the easy path. Sometimes we love to avoid those paths that are hard. We love to go down that path of least resistance, but that path of least resistance is not always the right path. It can be a path that leads us out from under the protection of Almighty God. We need to stay in the narrow path and follow in that narrow way. I can choose to always be honest. And I trust that we all are. I trust that that's already in our hearts. But you know, there's some times from time to time that maybe we find ourselves in a situation that it would just be a little bit easier to maybe exaggerate. It'd be easier to just bend that and pull that just a little bit further than what it actually is. And that's dishonest. And suddenly we're out from under the protection of Almighty God again. And suddenly we're on the verge of not outright lying, being at least deceitful. And they might both be the same thing. Okay, and so we can purpose in our hearts, either actions that we can do, that we're just going to always be honest. We're going to always speak the truth. And as long as we do this, we're going to be under the shelter of Almighty God. It's as soon as we step out of these things, that shelter of the Almighty God, it's like there's a big old hole up there in the rafter. We're taking a rafter and we're just ripping it off and we've got a weak point in the roof and the elements can come in. Or else we just walk out from under the shelter altogether and we're exposed to the elements of the world. Time that is sheltered from the elements. I can prioritize my schedule for the best things. I'm going to keep working through some of these things. But I can prioritize my schedule for the best things. Sometimes we just need to go through our schedules and we need to just get rid of things. Things that just fill up our time, things that fill up our actions. We need to ask ourselves, what is God calling me here to? And we need to cut out everything that takes us away from His will and what His plan is for us in our life. I can cut out and redeem the time that is wasted on things that are unprofitable. I can make a list of what seeking the kingdom first looks like and fill my day in accordingly. One that just recently challenged me after reading Gary Miller's book, I can remove apps from my phone. There are certain things that we just don't need. We carry around these devices that as tools, they're very helpful. As tools, but they can be very destructive and wasting a tremendous amount of time. And you know, if we just went through there and just cut out a number of apps, maybe we'd even limit ourselves to how many apps we have on our phone. And suddenly I think we'd find that we've got a lot more time that's not wasted just frittering it away on Maybe it's not bad things. Hopefully it's not bad things or sinful things, but it's just a waste of time. We are called to redeem the time because the days are evil. I can turn off notifications from my phone. Do I really need to know whenever I always get a new email? Do I really need to know whenever there's whatever it is, this new notification, this new news flash or whatever it is, can we shut those things off? And maybe, possibly, use it as a phone instead of as a tool that just constantly is bringing in new things. I can limit my use of technology to so many minutes a day, and then I can ask my brothers to hold me accountable. One thing that's been very profitable is that we want to, within our home, we want to limit our time 20 minutes a day. So that covers the shopping, that covers any kind of research, that covers any kind of, we don't use it to for leisure time, we don't use it to watch something that's funny, we don't use it, that's not how we use it. As a tool, we can use it to shop, we can use it to research, we can use it for, but after 20 minutes, it's done, it's off, it's over. That's all that's there. And there's a lot of days we don't even use it for that. But I think that it's important that we actually set limits to some of these things. And these are things that we can do, ways that we can protect our time so that it can remain holy, it can remain pure, it can remain clean and righteous, and we can keep ourselves in the shelter of God. You know, we start wasting this time, and pretty soon, like David, who had idle time, and there he was up on the roof, and that idleness just, it killed him. And these are ways that we can redeem our time. Relationships that protect from the elements. I can try to listen more and speak less. You know, if we would just do more listening and less speaking for myself, you know, we'd be a lot less quick to get ourselves in a situation where we got to back up, stick our foot in our mouth, so to speak, and then we're apologizing and, you know, I should have listened a little bit more there before I was so quick to jump to that conclusion, jump to that judgment, make that comment. These are ways that we can protect our relationships. It's just to purposely listen more and speak less. I can esteem my brothers higher than myself. When I critique my brother, I can first find the good before I point out his weaknesses. I can spend time with my wife. I can spend time with my children. I can say I'm sorry. These are all ways that are going to help us build healthy, Christ-centered relationships. If we can do these things, it's going to keep us in a safe place. We start transgressing and going out of this, and suddenly we find ourselves in relationships that are full of tension and strife, and maybe there's jealousy there, and bitterness and anger starts to stir up, and suddenly we're out of the protection of God again. But if we can work on these things, I can say I'm sorry. There's times where we have to say we're sorry, and we should be quick to say we're sorry. That should be something that's easy for us as humble believers, as Christians, to do. We should be able to say we're sorry. I can laugh. I can cry. I can listen to the whole story before I cast judgment or give my opinion. These are things that I can do, okay? So these are only a few examples of the practical outworking of the rafters that bring us protection. When we live in these ways of holiness and righteousness, we really do enjoy the protection of God from evil and from the elements. But if we neglect these rafters, we bring exposure to the elements upon us. We start spending our time in ways, relationships in ways, we just know that suddenly we can find ourselves in compromising situations that lead to sin and that remove us out from the protection of God. And so as a church of God, these rafters are very critical. We can't get sloppy in this. I would like to look at what it looks like to get sloppy with the rafters. We could read from Joshua chapter 7, and we could read there about the trespass of Achan. And I really believe that when there's an individual within the camp that is suddenly hiding sin in his life, or they've taken on something and they've come out from the protection of God, what they actually do is they expose the entire brotherhood to danger. They expose the entire brotherhood to the elements. And we think that's a horrifying thing. Sometimes we wonder, we look at congregations that are struggling so, and they're just being pummeled by Satan. And there's wickedness there, there's sin there, there's unholiness there, there's unrighteousness there. And we wonder, where is the sin at in the camp? Where is that hidden sin at in the lives of the members? And maybe it's in one member, maybe it's in 20 members, maybe it's all throughout. Maybe it's just a sin-filled congregation. But as sure as that happens, the protection of God goes, and the protection is not there. And I think the Battle of Ai is a beautiful example of that, or a horrifying example of that, of how God removed his protection, and they suffered defeat because of it. It was because they transgressed in that thing, and they took of the accursed thing. And when we partake of the world, that's exactly what we're doing. We're coming out from the protection, and we are losing that battle. There's a quote from Tertullian I'd like to read here that I think is significant, and again, it kind of shows how God's protection can be removed from the believer. It was a case here that he spoke about. Why may not those who go into the temptations of the show become accessible also to evil spirits? We have the case of the woman, the Lord himself is witness, who went to the theater and came back possessed. In the outcasting, accordingly, when the unclean creature was upbraided with having dared to attack a believer, he firmly replied, and in truth, this is what the devil was speaking. This is what the demon that had possessed this woman was saying. And in truth, I did it most righteously, for I found her in my domain. This poor woman, who was a believer, had removed herself out from under the protection of God, had entered into the theater or the show, and had made herself accessible to evil spirits. And I think it's a case study for us to consider. How much more for us today, who would go into certain places or become defiled with certain things that we could see? How much more do we expose ourselves to those evil spirits in this day and time? Another case, too, is well known, in which a woman had been hearing a tragedian, and on the very night she saw in her sleep a linen cloth, the actor's name being mentioned at the same time with strong disapproval. And 5 days after that, that woman was no more. She had died. She had taken herself out from the holy place of God, that holy and pure church. Just like Achan, she had partaken of the accursed thing. And 5 days later, she was dead. How many other undoubted proofs we have had in the case of persons who, by keeping company with the devil in the shows or in the theaters, have fallen from the Lord. For no one can serve two masters. What fellowship has light with darkness, life with death? And today, it seems like it is just rampant, where the teaching of separation from the world for Christians, in order to be Christians, in order to have a pure church, in order to have a true church, we must come out from among them and be a separate people. We cannot be partaking of the worldly entertainments and the defilements of the sinful activities that are all around today. We do that, we remove ourselves out from under the protection of the Almighty God because we are no longer clean. We cannot dwell in His presence if we are unclean. So, what are some thoughts? What are some actions? What are some time, some ways that we can spend our time or relationships that expose us to the elements? I'd like to look at some specific things. Of course, it's by no means exhaustive, but I want to look at some thoughts that expose us to the elements. If we are not careful, our thoughts can quickly wander off into dangerous areas. Areas of lust, areas of covetousness, areas of envy, bitter thoughts, rebellious thoughts, proud thoughts. As we examine our thoughts, as we consider where our mind goes at from time to time throughout the day, how often have we found that they can wander off? Maybe we pass that billboard. Maybe we pass that car dealership. Maybe we pass that nice subdivision. Maybe we pass that particular truck that's coming down the road that maybe our heart has been lusting after or coveting after. Maybe we go down a place where there's indecently dressed men or women, and it's just real easy to take a second look. What are we doing with these things? What are we doing to cut these things off and to get these things out of our lives? How far down the road do we have to go until we recognize this is unclean and impure? Are these things that are polluting our minds in there? It says that we can bring every thought into captivity. Every single thought can be brought into captivity. Actions that expose us to the elements. Watching worldly entertainment. Looking at inappropriate pictures. Listening to the news. Listening to music fashioned by the world. participation in the occult. We could go on and on and on. These are just a few specifics. A lot of times we try to shy away from specifics today because the idea is that, well, there's so much out there that if we use specifics, we're going to narrow it down. But we could simply say, and such like things. If these are part of our life, we are removing ourselves out from under the protection of God. We are actually disqualifying ourselves from being part of the true living church of God and the saints of God. We are disqualifying ourselves. And in fact, we could be incurring and exposing our own brethren to spiritual dangers that we know nothing about. And so there's a real responsibility for us to look upon our lives and look upon our hearts and make sure that all of these things, that we're getting rid of these things and we're purging ourselves from these things if we're to be the true church of God. Time that exposes us to the elements, surfing the internet, trying to squeeze too much work into one day, an unbalanced seeking after fun or the next thrill, idleness or boredom. These are things that we really need to guard against and make sure that they're not, because these are the very things that will undo the rafters. This is things that will cause for a sloppy setting of those rafters, and it will weaken the roof, and pretty soon we'll find ourselves exposed to the elements. There's been many men that have been slain spiritually, killed spiritually, because they were wasting time on the internet just clicking, just pushing a button. And it led them into places that they never had intended to go. They should have never been there. And spiritually, they were slain and killed. That's the seriousness of these things, that whenever we start doing these things and removing ourselves out from under the protection of God. Relationships that expose us to the elements. Becoming impatient or angry, not forgiving. Or maybe it's just bringing up the past. Maybe it's something that our spouse had done years ago. But from time to time, we find it necessary just to bring it back up again. And just remind her that, you know, there was that time. And maybe we do it at just a critical point in a conversation or a discussion where maybe we need to put her down a little bit so that we can be up on top of this argument and we can win this argument. And so by just, and at the right time, we can bring that in. It's just kind of a low blow. And then we win that argument. Because after all, you remember when you did this or you did that. Are we those kinds of people? If we're those kinds of people, and that's how we interact in our relationships, whether it's with our spouse or whether it's with our children or whether it's in business, whatever it's wherever that's at, if we use those control measures, that type of manipulation, we are treading on dangerous ground. We are removing ourselves out from under the protection of God. And these are not the actions, these are not the behaviors of the children of God or those that inhabit the church. It does not belong there. It cannot belong there. It's taking the roof off of the house and having something entirely unclean and impure. By not saying we're sorry. You know, sometimes it's difficult to say we're sorry. Sometimes it's difficult to be the first one to say that we're sorry. But I think all of us hopefully have had experienced times in our relationships where the best thing we did was to be the first one to say we were sorry. Can't we find those areas where we haven't done it perfect? Can't we find those areas where we could have done it better? I think we can be quick to say we're sorry. We can be critical and condemning, and you know, it tears relationships apart by being critical and condemning, by being judgmental, by being proud. These are just a few things. These are just a few warnings. But if we are going to be the true church of God, then these are practical areas of relationships and time and actions and thoughts where true holiness and righteousness, this is the playing field where holiness and righteousness and purity is actually played out, where justice and honesty and integrity and faith and justice are actually lived out. It's in this playing field of how we spend our time, how we spend our actions, how we have our relationships. It's in these areas. And so as the true church of God, these are the areas that we need to really make sure as we set these rafters in place that we're diligent, that we don't get sloppy in this. And I'm excited to continue to challenge one another, to be challenged, that we would, as the scripture exhorts us, be holy as I am holy. That would be our standard. That would be our goal as we labor to build this church. And again, I'm excited about that. I look forward to future discussions. I look forward to brothers coming and pointing out areas in my life that I can do better in. I look forward to being able to have those discussions and sharpening and challenging one another, and to be able to truly come more and more and more into that image of Christ, and to be able to be that bright and shining light in the world. So thanks again for listening tonight. Appreciate it.